All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast here with fellow Eagles fan Brandon Furtado. How are you?
I am doing great. Would have been better with a bigger win, but I'm still doing great.
And Shane as well. How are you doing, Shane?
Good. Good. Not an Eagles fan, but I picked the Eagles to win, so...
Yeah, I hope we all did. Smart it. I hope we all did in the pick because oh my god, if we didn't.
Smart man.
My mom did not.
Oh Jesus.
Your mom's in our pick'em league. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm drinking liquids again. I always drink liquids.
I'm gonna pick the Commanders.
Is she a Jaden Daniels fan?
It's funny. No. She, as we were watching the game tonight, she goes, "Is Washington's quarterback?" I said, "Jaden Daniels," and she goes, "Who?" And she said, "Wait, who's the Eagles quarterback?"
Oh my god!
No, and I said, "Jalen Hurts." And she goes, "Oh, I thought he was on Washington."
Oh my goodness, Lord!
Brandon's biggest nightmare.
Okay. So, listen, if he ever goes to Washington, I will cry.
Brandon, do you want an update on my Madden game against Jalen Hurts' Seattle Seahawks? Because he's on the Seahawks in my league.
Yeah.
That just sounds so gross.
I beat him 45-3.
Oh my god. but wait, you're playing on a low difficulty, aren't you?
All pro competitive.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Okay, so let's start with Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Brandon, this was a good fourth quarter, but the game plan you said last week of you got to run the ball down their throats, you don't have a good rush defense. They didn't do that for three quarters, Brandon, and ultimately the play calling that I think we both agree was more Kellen Moore than Nick Sirianni was still atrocious, and it continues to be this theme that's going to rear its ugly head all the way to the playoffs, it seems.
Yeah, this has to be a run-first football team, and they were the past 3-4 weeks since the bye. But today, I mean, you ran it late when you had to. They started mixing it in, you know, late in the third quarter, and then pretty much all of the fourth. But you can't, you know, you're lucky your defense bailed you out, because if they would have had even a somewhat off night, the Commanders would have probably beat you by 10 points. So it's the game, you know, the game plan. That's why for the first two quarters, I'm like, what am I watching? Because they'd run the ball on first down, and not every first down was successful. Like you know, they'd run the ball, okay, get 1 yard, then okay, I get you, you're passing on second and nine. But there were times where it's like, second and six, second and four, second and two at some points. And I'm like, why not run the ball again? Because now they're expecting you to pass off the run. So why not hit them with the run again and try to at least, you know, see if you can pick it up. And if you can't, then you throw it. But they abandoned the run far too early a lot. And they kept abandoning it. Like, they got down into enemy territory a bunch in this game. Or got to midfield, you know, they would start, you know, at the 10, 20-yard line. They would get it to midfield and then just stall out. It was like they just relied too heavy on the pass. And, I mean, there were some downs where they'd pick up the first down with the run and then immediately three straight passes. And the thing is, the plays weren't even good. It seemed like they were just too cautious against – not cautious. Like, they didn't want to open up their playbook enough against Washington the first two quarters. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like they were playing this like, we're feeling Washington out, and then we're going to do what we do in the second half. And, I mean, even for most of the third quarter, it was the same thing. It was like, I was like, listen, some throws I can blame. Like, there's only maybe 2 points in this game that I blame Jalen Hurts for. I blame him for taking the sack early on, where he stepped up to avoid pressure and took a sack trying to take off, because Devontae Smith was 5 yards right in front of him on a crosser that would have went for like 50 yards because there was nobody else down the field. So if you just hit him right there in stride, he's gone. That one I blame him for. And then I blame him for the miscommunication between him and Brown on the sideline, where he just threw the ball pretty much out of bounds. Like, Brown should have came back to the ball, but also Hurts has to hit him way earlier. Yeah, he was open the entire play.
From what I saw on Skycam, because if you're watching Prime Vision, number one, the Skycam, watching Skycam with the Eagles offense is so frustrating, because immediately when plays start, no one's open, because these play calls are so weird. And then, but on that, if you watch the Skycam angle on that, Hurts should have thrown it like 2 seconds earlier. That was a first down on that specific play.
Yeah. And it's like everybody's like, oh, well, Hurts can't read defenses. I'm like, I don't think it's not that he can't read defenses. It's just that I think most of the time he just knows in the first couple seconds a player isn't open. And then it's like, but then by the time he sees somebody open, like by the time they actually do get open, he can throw it, but he would have to throw it literally in that split second they get open.
I would make an argument, Brandon, just really quick. I would make an argument that by the time someone gets open, the clock is already running his head, because someone's going to get there. Like, it's too late.
Yeah. That's why I keep hating, because I keep seeing people in the media and I keep seeing people online saying, oh, he cannot read a defense. I'm like, that could not be further from the truth. Every quarterback is going to miss, you know, two or three plays that they should easily hit. That's how football works. Every single quarterback, no matter if it's the most elite quarterback or if it's like, you know, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, you are going to miss opportunities throughout a game. That's just how it goes. But I hate when people are like, oh, this guy's open, this guy's open. I'm like, yeah, but think about by the time that they do get open, they're not open right away when he's looking their way, looking to throw, and he's going through those reads. They're not open for the first 5 seconds of the play. So even if they are open down the field 5 seconds later, that pocket has collapsed entirely. He has to run. And then it's hard to keep your eyes down the field and still make a play. He can do it, but the problem is he has to do it almost every other play. And that's not going to work. So, there was a time where they were like, oh, well, he missed Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley in the end zone for a touchdown. And they settled for a field goal. And I'm like, well, you guys got to realize something. He didn't miss them. They weren't open until he was already under pressure and had to scramble away from the pocket because it was collapsing on him. He's not going to throw that ball while under pressure. He's going to try to escape and then throw the ball because he's going to have an extra second to make a play. But he didn't have time to make the play there. Like, he's not going to send. The thing is, too, and this is another reason why I blame Kellen Moore, a lot of the routes tonight by the receivers, he had a couple missed throws, but a lot of routes tonight by the receivers, they were ran sloppily. They were pretty sloppy routes. Like, there was a couple plays where guys are running into each other. Guys are, there's a couple like two or three bad drops. Jahan Dotson and Devontae Smith dropped an easy catch that would have extended the drive. So, do I criticize him a lot? You know, I do, but that's my quarterback. I know what he's capable of. And I see the flashes, but it's the frustration I have that this offense, when they're not running the ball, it's one step forward, two steps back. It's like they can't get out of their own way because they just can't seem to either find the right play call. That's another here. Speaking of this, how many times tonight did they have to rush a play after an incomplete pass or a clock stoppage? Why? How do you rush a play?
It's not when you have a stopped clock. It's not only just rushing a play. I think a lot of their game plan was just to go up tempo. But I don't see the point. This is Washington's defense. Their secondary is not that good where you need to just rush every 5 seconds.
Yeah. Like, the crap. But here, and that's why I'm breaking it down more from a quarterback standpoint, too. The offensive line was not good tonight. They were not. They weren't. Like, Jalen Hurts only got sacked, I think, maybe once, twice. But here's the problem. He was under pressure a lot. Like, he had to make some throw. He had to scramble out of the pocket a lot. And the thing is, between the guys not being open, he had to scramble out of the pocket and make plays happen, which he did quite a bit tonight. So, that's why I'm like, I don't blame him for the slow kind of game they had tonight, but they cannot. But bottom line is, you know, after all this talk, they got to stop abandoning the run. Every time they abandon the run, the game gets really sloppy and the offense stalls heavily. Plain and simple.
Yeah. And Shane, that's a good segue here, because Shane, you faced teams in high school from a coaching standpoint with similar pieces where it was like their run defense isn't very good. We want to run the ball kind of down their throats. And you wanted to talk about, like, what's your game plan process for that? Because I think it's actually really interesting.
So this one happened a few times. And, you know, a good example of it was my second year coaching. I was, you know, more involved in the offensive game planning. I was not the offensive coordinator or anything, but just, you know, getting some practice at that. Anyways. And so one of the things that we did that was really effective is if you run, you know, 3, 4, 5 times in a row, 6, you know, you might think, well, they're just going to catch on eventually. It's like, well, yes, but if they do, it sounds silly, but like you'll notice it on the film as the game goes on. You run, the defense slowly like draws in towards the middle subconsciously. So then you do, you know, you get in your normal set. You know, we ran a lot from like the queen formation, which is basically it's a version of like weak side pistol. And so you know, we would set up for a play like that, but then it would be a play action pass and there'd be a wide out, wide open, you know, 30 yards downfield on a post, touchdown. And even if they wouldn't be drawn in, you know, they, like Brandon said, they would be thinking, okay, well, they just ran, so they ran twice, so they're probably going to pass now. So then they'd be, you know, like playing, you know, cover 3 zone, and then run again, and there's nobody there to stop them. So it's, you know, it's a real strategy, and it doesn't work all the time if you have a good rush defense, but
Commanders don't.
If you have a bad rushing defense like the Commanders or like the team that we played on that day, who we shall not name, it's a struggle. And like that's what when I played Gaskin my junior year, my sophomore year, that's what they did to us. And we were, you know, and we were a decent run defense, but it's just, you know, when you have a player that's that good, it doesn't matter. You know, so then when they would pass, we just were totally unprepared. So that was something that when I started coaching, I brought up to the head coach because he was the defensive coordinator when I played. He got promoted to head coach. So I brought that up. I said, hey, remember when they did that? And he was like, oh, yeah, we're going to do that now. said, good.
Good.
You know, it sounds silly. Like it's, you know, like you think, oh, well, that's so basic, but it works.
Sometimes simplicity in any frame of football is actually better than the more complex stuff, in all truth.
You know,
when it comes to
Yeah, and you know why that is too? It's like, how many times do I beg the Eagles to give Hurts. You got to get your quarterback in rhythm, right? How many times have I said that? Like for weeks and weeks and weeks now. The best way to get them in rhythm is, besides running the ball, shorter passing plays. You got to, like, it has to, you cannot be consistently running passing plays that are 15, 20, 25 yards down the field. You can't be doing that. You've got to start running more slant plays, running more, you know, 5 yard ins and 5 yard outs. You've got to start mixing that in there, because when you don't do that, your quarterback's never going to get in rhythm, because he's expected to throw the ball down the field almost every play. So, you know, that's why I keep begging the Eagles. I'm like, if Jalen Hurts is not in rhythm, shorten the passing game. Make it, you know, three-step drop and out, or five-step drop and hit the you know, the out route. Something, like, do something. You can't sit there and have him wait in the pocket when the ball is snapped. Everybody's like, oh, he's got time to throw. I'm like, time to throw to who? Because if you look at the sky cam, and if you look at the shots from like behind him, seeing what he sees, Dallas Goedert's not open. AJ Brown's not open. Devontae Smith's not open. They're not even looking for the ball yet. If no one's open, where is he supposed to throw? So it's, you know, I don't like the fact that people say, oh, he can't throw. I'm like, no, it's just that we don't have an offense that allows him to make really any real reads. The offense is just, it's, you know, I don't like, I've said it before. I didn't like it last year when Philly did it. I didn't, you know, that's why in 2022, that's why I love the offense, because the offense was damn near unstoppable because of the fact that it was short pass plays, RPO, run the ball, keep it going. Mixing in, and then you mix in your deep shots here and there. It was a perfectly executed game plan from start to finish, and it was every balanced. Single game.
And it was balanced. That's a big part
That's what frustrated me about tonight. Tonight was not a balanced game. I mean, it became balanced in the late in the third and all the way through the fourth. But it shouldn't take you, you know, three quarters of a football game to figure out who the hell you are and what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
like you're like that's where I love how the defense played.
Yeah,
they stepped up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then, do you have any final comments on the Eagles side, Shane? Any kind of last things that kind of stick out to you?
Not particularly. I mean, you know, it's just I think defense really showed up tonight. You know, kudos to them. And, yeah, they just, it's just very clear that they have not found their offensive footing.
We are easily a run. We always should have been, because even with Miles Sanders, we didn't do it enough. We should be, and this is also why Philly was successful in the 2000s. Because what did Philly do a lot? Hardcore defense and run the damn football. Okay. Yeah. They did it a lot. They did it under McNabb and Westbrook. They did it under Vic and McCoy, because Vic didn't throw the ball a lot either. Neither did McNabb.
True.
What makes the Eagles successful for the entire time I've been alive? Hell, even when Randall Cunningham was an Eagle, it was physical defense. Bro,
bringing out Cunningham, I love it.
It was physical, okay. Because the Eagles have two. Like, look at all the quarterbacks from pretty much from Cunningham till now. And the thing is, they all have similar skill sets. They are all dual threat quarterbacks that you need to utilize, you know, more short passing, intermediate passing than taking deep shots. I mean, Jalen Hurts has one of the best deep balls in football. But, like, the Eagles need to be a run-first team, establish the run, and then go for the – start opening up the passing plays. I'm not saying take the deep shots off the run. Establish the run early, push that defense back, then start building it. Start 5-yard pass, a 10-yard pass, an 8-yard pass, and then go 15, 25, then go deep. That's how you're supposed to do it. So – it's, you know, that's what I want to see more of, and that's what this team historically has been good at. And also, one more thing, because we didn't touch the defense too much, even though I said they had a great game, Quinion Mitchell completely blanked Terry McLaurin tonight. Terry McLaurin had one catch tonight, and it wasn't even on Quinion Mitchell. It was on Cooper DeJean, and it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things in the end. And he had another fantastic game because he locked him up all night. And everybody's like, oh, Terry McLaurin's going to make him look foolish as a rookie. I'm like, yeah, get the hell out of here. Get real. and Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean, those two linebackers are for real. They have finally found their place. Bond has finally.
Awesome.
He's so good.
Zach Bond is an all-pro linebacker. He's probably the best linebacker, like true linebacker, in football this year. So
he's up there.
I love those guys.
He's definitely in that first half defensive player of the year conversation. Let's switch over to the Commanders. Shane, I have a twofold question for you, but let's start with QB corner. Let's go back to Jaden Daniels once again. where are the weaknesses you think you're seeing from Daniels' game that you'd like to see improved at the quarterback position here?
Well, you know, I think in general he's pretty solid, especially for a rookie who does not have a great offensive line. But you know, I'll start with the positives. First, we all know he's an amazing athlete. And he does, I think, have a really pretty good deep ball. I think the problem the main problem I see is, it's just his accuracy at times is kind of spotty. You know, and a good example would be earlier tonight when Zach Bond made that crazy play to break up that pass. But I mean, if you watched it, that should have been a few more yards to the right in front of the receiver. You know, which it's, you might be thinking, well, you know, it's a tight window. And yeah, it is, but it's not like the guy was far away. You know, and I do feel like sometimes he on balls when he's like giving it his all as far as power, they kind of die as they get towards the receiver, which, you know, it's not always a bad thing, but it can be a problem when you're going up against pretty good defensive personnel, which they were tonight. So, I'd say that's what I'm most concerned about. But overall, I think he has a good feel for the game. I really like his football IQ, and you know how well he can sense pressure. You know. I like all that stuff. It's just some of the accuracy issues and his sense of touch on the ball.
And flipping to defensive side, Shane, you and I both have watched Dan Quinn's defenses for so long, particularly in Seattle and seen it in Atlanta and now in Washington. This is still not a great defense, Shane, and this is something we've been continuing to harp on with Washington.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay defensively. I mean, you know, it's when you think of Dan Quinn in his defenses, it's definitely not up to par, if you will. But that's to be expected a little bit. I mean, you know, his first year as head coach, not just defensive coordinator in this team, you know, there's going to be some road bumps. But, you know, I think it's really no coincidence that the pass defense has been great, and for the most part, and the rush defense is the thing that is lacking a bit, because you look at every Dan Quinn defense, that's how it's always been. You know, you go back to his days in Seattle, they had a really good pass rush and great coverage going deep. But then the run defense, yeah, you had Bobby who would be there to kind of be an enforcer, but it was, you know, there definitely was room to be desired. Not that it was like a huge weakness, because I mean that defense was pretty legit as is, but you know, that's in Atlanta, and in Dallas it was the same kind of thing. And I don't know what it is exactly. I mean, you know, they have the whole cover three scheme that they revolutionized, which does work pretty well. Well, works very well against the pass if you have the right personnel. Pete Carroll. But if, sorry. Love it, Pete. But yeah, no, and I think they do here. I like their corners. And they're, you know, they're pretty good zone players, and their front four is pretty solid as well. But then, you know, you look at the linebackers, you know, Bobby's obviously a very smart player, and he's a great veteran leadership presence. But I mean, let's be honest, he's slowing down quite a bit. He's not, yeah, you know, which is to be expected. I mean, dude's what, 35, 34? But he's, you know, he's not as quick as he used to be. He's not getting to the guys. You know, it always felt like, at least in his early Seattle days, like he was going to the runner, but now it's like he's chasing after them, if that makes sense. So, you know, it's just stuff like that that, you know, it's going to create some problems for the run defense. And I think really they just need to have some quicker linebackers, I feel like is probably the best solution. Who, or maybe not even quicker, but just, you know, guys that can just get in there instead of allowing run after run after run to just stack up on you. But like I said, first year, it's obviously not going to be perfect. I mean, the fact that they're 7-4 after last season is honestly a miracle. You know, or maybe not a miracle, but you know what I mean. So, yeah, I guess right now I'm just kind of in a we'll see mindset.
With them defensively. Any final thoughts before we move on?
At least going forward.
Yep, sounds... Yeah, no, I hear you. Any final thoughts before we move on here?
I will say, you know, it's a tough loss if you're a Commanders fan tonight, but the division's not over. And at the very least, you're going to make a wild card, or you should. Because
a game and a half behind.
Yeah, and the thing is not just that, but their schedule the next 3 weeks is insanely easy. I could beat those teams blindfolded. but like the next three weeks, like what is it? Like their win loss record for the next three teams combined is like it's like 7-21 or something
Jesus
like that.
Jesus Christ! Oh my God!
So the next 3 weeks they'll be fine. So it just gets a little tougher after that because they got to play us again. So that's gonna be another good one. But
they always play close in Washington.
Yeah, that's why
them in Philly.
I don't think we're gonna beat them a second time. I think we split with them and then Dallas we're not losing to. Giants we're not losing to. So I still think we're gonna end up 5-1. Yeah, I don't think. And the thing is, looking at the rest of the schedule, I mean, besides the division, Ravens, Steelers, I'm like, I think we beat the Steelers at home. I think we beat the Steelers. And I think we lose to Baltimore. I still think this team's going to end up like 13-4. I don't see how, I don't think we're losing to the Rams next week.
We get to be well rested for that. On Sunday night next week.
And we're well rested for that game anyway. So I don't think, and Matt Stafford is a statue. That guy doesn't move. So if we get any kind of pressure on him, he's screwed. So, and our track record in LA, like the last like 6 years, is phenomenal. Like 6-7 years, we're like 4-0 against them because they don't come to Philly for some reason. They always play out in LA for that game. So
it's like a Seattle plays in Detroit every year.
Yeah, I hate that. I'm like, why can't LA come to Philly? I hate that.
Hey, at least you get to be in the warm weather and not cold Philly in November.
Oh yeah, that's gonna help our offense even more. So, I only said that this team would be 12-5 or 13-4. I should be right.
Yeah, you're pretty close here. So we talked about this in the old version of the show, Shane, and I want to talk about it in this new version because this just came out and I'm like, we got to talk about this again because we haven't talked about it in years. So I know that you have been like a big proponent of like changing the name for the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year and all these different things. So Shane, I'm going to give you the names for all the CFL awards since they were tonight. The Grey Cup is in Vancouver on Sunday. That should be a fun game. Are you ready for the names of these awards?
Yes, this sounds amazing.
Okay. So, the Most Valuable Player Award is not called the Most Valuable Player Award. It is called the Most Outstanding Player Award.
Love it. Thank you.
Next up is Most Outstanding Canadian. Obviously, a lot of Americans play in the CFL, so Most Outstanding Canadian. Coach of the Year. Simple, straightforward. And last...
Wait, what's Most Outstanding Canadian?
Most Outstanding...
Like Walter Payton Man of the Year?
No, Most Outstanding Canadian is for the best Canadian player. Canadian-born player. Because there's a lot of Americans that play in the CFL. Yeah.
Okay, so it quite literally means... Okay, gotcha.
It quite literally means the Most Outstanding Canadian. Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Yeah. And then most outstanding defensive player. There you go. So not most valuable, most outstanding for the CFL.
Yeah. And I like that because, the problem with most valuable player is it's like, obviously that's a quarterback. He touches the ball on every snap and is more or less responsible for the direction of the offense. But this is what J.J. Watt said when he was voted number one player on the NFL Top 100, which say what you want about that list. It's definitely very flawed. But when he won that award and then got second for... Or no, Aaron Rodgers got second, even though Aaron Rodgers won MVP that season. And so they asked him, they said, do you wish you had won MVP as well? And J.J. Watt said, well, no, because Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player. He touches the ball on every snap and you know, whatever. But this is not the most valuable player. This is just the best player. And they felt it was me. And that's... And I think that distinction is very true, because that kind of gets... That kind of gets lost in the whole MVP discussion. Because MVP is supposed to be the most amazing player. But it just ends up being essentially whatever quarterback has the best record.
Yeah.
It's not even like who individually did the best. It's just, well, this guy was the quarterback on the team that won the most games, so he wins. It's like, what?
So yeah, do you like outstanding being that distinction?
Yeah. Yeah, because then, you know, then I feel like people would be more inclined to vote, people being the Associated Press, but who knows, they're kind of idiots. I feel like they would be more inclined to vote for, you know, guys like Aaron Donald. He's retired now, obviously, but I feel like he is a guy that would have been up for that. Or J.J. Watt, you know. And
you know who won the most outstanding player and most outstanding Canadian for the CFL? Brady Oliveira, a running back, won the award. So there you go.
Yeah, and, you know, because, I mean, right now, I don't know what the MVP race is, but it's, I would imagine it's like Lamar, Mahomes for some stupid reason.
even though he's had a bad year.
You know, exactly. You know, Goff, whatever. But in reality, it's like, well, where's Henry? Where's Saquon? Where's Jamar Chase? Where is who else? I don't know. Buda Baker, he's having a hell of a year. I don't know. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, what about all these other people? So, you know, just kind of, I just feel like it kind of neglects a lot of people in the sport. But, you know, we can't have nice things for a reason, so.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
It's rough.
Yeah. So anyways,
there's that.
Yeah.
Brandon, I'm sure that you agree with that, like seeing how the CFL does their distinction of the awards versus how the NFL does it.
Yeah. And Shane said it best. It's like, you know, the most valuable player, you know, it's quarterback touches the ball every play, and it's like in the NFL, like the MVP always wins it. What?
And they're paid the most, quite literally.
Yeah.
They're literally paid the most because they're valuable. There you go.
Yeah. And it's like there's gotta be, I like most outstanding player a lot better too, just because outstanding, like valuable has a weird kind of, I guess, connotation to it. Like, I mean, cause every player on a team, if they're really good, has value. Like Dak Prescott last year would have been nothing without CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb had more value, but then everybody's like, oh, Dak Prescott is an MVP candidate. I'm like, no, he's not. CeeDee Lamb. But, you know, because, you know, CeeDee Lamb's getting the ball from Dak, it's like, Dak's an MVP. I'm like, well, no, he's never going to get that, and he shouldn't. And thank God he didn't.
But like Brock Purdy wouldn't have been an MVP candidate without Trent Williams, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Or among, hell, among even, others. Even, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Talking about his, you know, talking about his offense. Jesus Christ. You know, it was, you know, I love, that's another reason why I don't like him. People say, oh, Hurts only good because of his stacked offense. And it's like, Hurts is an MVP candidate. Brock Purdy's not. But, you know, they both have the same kind of offenses, same kind of, you know, skill players at every position. So, you know, but I don't like, yeah, most valuable player to me, valuable is just, it's not a negative connotation, but it's got like that connotation of like, oh, like, it doesn't fit quite right. It's not the right term. Outstanding is the better term. Because especially when you make it about the quarterback with an MVP, like we're all kind of saying here, it's outstanding is just better because you can acknowledge you're not pigeonholed into just the quarterback. Like most outstanding, thank God it went to a running back in the CFL, but it's like most outstanding, like honestly, if we're going by this year, right, as of this current moment, there's like, really, to me, three guys that deserve it, and two of them are Baltimore Ravens, and that's Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and then the third is Saquon Barkley.
Honestly, that's it to me. Honestly, I'm debating this really hard. I think we're going to add most outstanding player to our award set this year, because yeah, it's just going to make it easy. I think we're going to do that. I actually like that. So continue. So Saquon... Derrick Henry.
To me, right now, those are. I mean, Josh Allen's having a great season too, and it's like, and everybody's like, oh, what about Joe Burrow? I'm like, yeah, but Joe Burrow is also, you know, like wins are not a QB stat, but 4-6 is 4-6. Like, you're not an MVP if your team's not winning. At least, like, you know, like you can be an MVP, but he's also had some games where he hasn't really had, or he should be beating. Like, he needs to step up and hasn't. Even though his stats look great, but I mean, like Joe Burrow this year to me is almost like what Dak was last year. Yeah, it's like, yeah, my numbers would look great too if I had an all world wide receiver catching literally anything I throw, even remotely near him. So like Jamar Chase is the MVP. Like Jamar Chase should be up there, I think, over Joe Burrow. Like there's a lot of guys that deserve to be up there over quarterbacks. The only quarterback to me that deserves to be in, there's maybe two right now that deserve it, and I think it's Lamar Jackson, and I think it's Josh Allen. Everybody else is not there yet, and then the three other candidates that I can think of off the top of my head are all non QBs: Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and maybe Jamar Chase. That's really it.
I'm gonna be really honest. As of 9 weeks, it's very hard for me to vote for a quarterback for MVP. Shane, what about you?
It's hard to vote for anybody at all, period.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
But I do agree that it's like, if we had to pick somebody now, they're probably, you know, the only two, not probably, they are the only two quarterbacks I would consider, you know. So, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So, post-credit scene, I always make a comment about either fixing the audio or what I'm drinking. What's your liquid of choice during the podcast? You guys normally, like, drink water. Some kind of liquid? Water?
Brandon? Yeah, for me, it's a lot later than you guys. So, for me, and I know this is a controversial thing, I don't do it every night, but every once in a while, if I need something to drink and we're on, I will grab either, I will drink milk, because I do like drinking milk. But if it's not milk, I will probably drink, not really water. I would drink either a seltzer or milk.
I'm usually a sparkling water guy. Sparkling water, pour a couple of those.
Oh,
my
God.
No sparkling water.
That's what seltzer is. So
yeah, like just plain water.
Anybody who drinks plain sparkling water.
Listen, it's not plain. It's not plain. It's not plain.
Yeah, don't
do it. It's not plain.
Yeah, don't do
it. It's not plain. It's not plain. I almost never do plain. I almost never do plain unless it's the last one we have.
There are some people that do, and they cannot be trusted.
I have a Venom Last Dance cup. I fill up two cans. fit in this cup, and I just sip it the whole show. Sip sparkling water.
But yeah, it's funny. Water is pretty much the only thing I drink. Maybe once a week I'll have like a glass of guava juice if I'm really feeling exotic.
Feeling fancy. But,
yeah. You ever see that Humex?
What?
Guava juice? Yeah, the brand Humex.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's so good.
I gotta try that out.
I mean, yeah, there's enough sugar for like 4 days in there, but you know, it's good.
it's good. Brandon, I got one for you today for the post-grad scene. The Rays are playing at your spring training facility, the Yankees spring training facility in Tampa, Florida in 2025.
Yep,
11,000 seats, dude, for an MLB stadium. Crazy.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I mean, they have to, because the Rays spring training facility is, I kid you not, only 15 minutes away from my house in Florida. So, yeah, we knew that thing got destroyed by the hurricane. But, you know, it's, I like it, though. I like finally, kind of like, you know, because, you know, like, NFL teams will hold, like, you know, joint practices. But it's like, you know, it'd be, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a joint, you know, kind of thing at one stadium. Like, you know, I'm kind of, it's kind of cool to see them share the stadium. That'd be really cool. But, yeah, that's you know, you don't usually hear about that. That's not something you really think of. So, but hey, you know, the Rays, they need it. I mean, they, you know, they gotta get spring training in just like all the other teams. So,
but they're gonna spend the whole season there.
Yeah, well, they're gonna have to. Yeah, because I mean, the Trop got destroyed too. Well, didn't get destroyed, but
got messed, like, up. Yeah,
I mean, I've been saying for years that the Trop is awful. Like, I've been in there, I've been around there. Like, there's actually no parking. They make you park in a grass and dirt field that's only roped off. It feels like you're parking at like a state fair and not parking at a baseball game. it's
that's hilarious.
Like, that stadium is so, like, I remember going in there. I was like, am I in prison or am I at a baseball game?
Is that how you feel going into MetLife?
It's almost the same thing. Even when I'm going for I don't really go for sports related things there. But oh my god, I went there for the Rolling Stones concert this past summer, and I was like, "Yep, this is jail."
This is jail.
Like, even with the the Devils game, I was like, "Wow, this sucks." Wind tunnel. But it's interesting. I mean, that stadium is down in Tampa Bay, down in St. Pete is oh my god, is it bad? Like, they need a new stadium anyway, so hopefully that kind of kickstarts the pro. I hope they don't really think about repairing it. Just, like, please figure out a way to
I think they're build already a new one. I think they're already in plans to build a new one in 28, so maybe it speeds it up a little bit.
Oh, thank god. Because they need to. Like, that stadium is, it's the lighting in there is dingy. The ball gets lost in the roof a lot because the roof is the same freaking color as the baseball. The ball hits the catwalk a lot because there's a bunch of unnecessary just like little catwalks around the stadium for no reason. It's basically like playing baseball in an IMAX dome.
What the hell? So, did you just say what?
Yeah. I mean, you can picture it. That's like, funny.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Like, think about the IMAX domes, like the full sphere. And then think about, like, you know, how thin that screen really is. Like, you can punch a hole right through it. Like, that's how bad the Trop really is. Like, I that stadium has also, that stadium also has just as bad field conditions as MetLife, where I've seen tons of non-contact injuries there. Especially to the Yankees, Rays, Red Sox, Blue Jays players, all like throughout the years consistently. So yeah, it's not great. I mean, listen, I like the fact that they're gonna actually use our stadium for something other than spring training games. So that would be nice, hopefully. I can get down there and catch an actual Rays Yankees game down there at George Steinbrenner Field. That sounds weird to say an actual game, because I mean that's where they're gonna play. But that's weird that they might, that they're gonna call that a home game sometimes for the Rays, obviously. Yeah. But you gotta do what you gotta do until, you know, things kind of get back to normal. So it wouldn't be the weirdest, you know, kind of stadium thing we've seen. So it's cool. I kind of like it.
Yeah. Shane, what are some of the worst stadiums you've ever been to?
I never thought you'd ask.
I never thought you'd ask.
Or no, I thought you'd never ask. That's what it is. Damn. Yeah, so I've been to, God, how many MLB stadiums have I been to? Like 15, I think. That's just something my dad and I like to do. Just every time we go to travel somewhere, it's like, oh, let's go to a ball game, see what the stadium's like. So we've been to, I think, like 15. I'd have to go and count, but let's see. The worst ones. Well, first, let me tell you the best ones.
let's get the good ones out of the way first.
Yes. First of all, let's see. Petco Park, San Diego. Really nice place. Yankee Stadium just has
infinite aura.
Yes. It, like, you walk in there, it's just like, this is a baseball park. That's kind of how Fenway is, too. Fenway's pretty dirty, but it's like, there's kind of a charm to it, you know? Let's see. One that I gotta be honest, one that I don't really like is Anaheim Angels. It was pretty, I mean, you know, the center field display, whatever the hell that is,
the board
that,
yeah,
was, yeah, the whole like waterfall and whatever else. It was just it just wasn't very, it was just kind of a dump, like, not to be mean, but it just, yeah. And it was very just boring. Milwaukee was also a really nice one. I forgot about that. But yeah, like, there's a difference between Anaheim, that stadium being kind of not trashy, but what's the word I'm looking for? Being unkept, sure.
Yeah.
Like, the difference between, like, that and, you know, Fenway, where, you know, Fenway, it's like the paint is all chipping off and the ground is just like, and, you know, the stands, like, you can just see tobacco and sunflower seed stains everywhere, and, you know, and it just smells like old dirt and dust. It's awesome. You know, it's like, oh yeah, this is a classic baseball park. Now, that being said, I never went to the Oakland Coliseum, and I never went to Tropicana in Tampa. And it sounds like they're both being taken down. So I can't compare. I can't compare my experience to either of those, which were, you know, I'm assuming much worse. But, yeah, you know, another stadium, too, that, and, I mean, this isn't me being biased, but I do really like T-Mobile Park in Seattle.
I love our stadium so much. It's so great.
It's super clean. It's really, you know, just the architectural design. I sound like such a nerd saying that. It's just really cool. I think the layout is great. You know, you got a cool view. The only downside is that the fans are just so lame. Like,
I'll be real honest about Seattle Mariners fans. Most of us don't really go for the baseball. We just go there to get drunk and party most of the time, which, whatever.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Just hang, yeah.
Yeah. And it's mostly because we've been ass for so long, but whatever.
And who knows? Maybe you'll run into Ken Griffey. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Or Ichiro.
Yeah.
So, Xbox, this has been...
I'm bumping to him sometimes.
Ichiro? Jeez.
Yeah, I told you about that in the chat.
That's right.
After church, I see him at a gas station getting Zins.
Nice. Ichiro getting Zins at a gas station. Oh, my God.
That's just so funny to me. Pulls up his Tesla. Comes out. Got little cans. It's like, all right. Good on you for quitting the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you gonna tell Ichiro any different?
No. I'll be like, yes, sensei.
God. So this is something that's been brewing for Xbox for a little while, and it's kind of hit its peak now. The Xbox is having a new campaign called "This Is an Xbox." Or basically saying that this is an Xbox, like your phone's an Xbox, your TV's an Xbox, your Xbox is an Xbox. And I have a lot of questions as to why. Yeah, obviously. I have a lot of questions because I'll be honest, I don't think a lot of people have internet where they can stream Xbox games that good. Like, I certainly don't have that. Brandon, this also feels like a slap in the face for us who spent... How much did you spend on your Series S?
Around 300. Like 300, 3 something, or about 315.
I spent around 430 for my Series X. It kind of feels like a slap in the face to us who spent that kind of money on the consoles, does it not, Brandon?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah, but... Then again, when have these video game, you know, or these corporations that we, you know, enjoy video games, like, you know, between PlayStation, Xbox, you know, well, Sony and Microsoft, when's the last time they did anything to really benefit the consumer? Like,
I mean, technically this does benefit the consumer, but it benefits the consumer if you actually have the internet capabilities to do that, and you...
That's what I'm saying. It's not a lot of people. Not a lot of people don't, unless they're, you know, rich and have the greatest Wi-Fi in the world, and bandwidth,
to do cloud gaming. But there's a reason why Google Stadia died. I'm just gonna say that right off the bat. There's a reason it died.
Like we have problems just connecting to the internet in 2024, like regularly, no matter if it's video games or just our cell phones, like you know, trying to get to Google or whatever. So it's like, why make it even harder? Like, you know, it cuts out a lot. Like, I already have problems with my Series X, like, you know, booting us out of games when the three of us play.
Yeah.
Or booting us out of, you know, golf with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, golf with friends, Rocket League, and it's like those servers shouldn't be like that. So it's like, if we aren't having problems with that, how's this going to make things better? It really doesn't, I don't think. So it doesn't make sense, really. I mean, you know, I guess it'll benefit the the consumer, but it's kind of negligible. It really, I don't think it does by much. So, I mean, like you were saying, cloud gaming, it's like, who's really gonna, who's gonna really rely on that?
I think for me, because I'm a Game Pass subscriber, cloud gaming for me is just a novelty. Like it's good to have, but to me it's a novelty, and like that's what PS Remote Play has been for a while. But I think Shane, you can step in and talk about this piece as well, which is I think Xbox is doing this partially because the PS5 is just absolutely killing them in sales at the moment.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about this, just because I do a lot of video work for Xbox, and when I say for Xbox, I mean like for their executive branch. So that being said, I can't really talk about it that much.
which I understand, because, but what's like your overall take on it, I guess?
Yeah, because I know lots of confidential information
that we cannot, that you definitely cannot repeat on this pod.
And definitely not to you guys in private. No way. But anyways, so yeah, it's, I'll say what's not a secret and what's out there. For the last 10 years, I think it's been, Xbox has been buried by Sony and Nintendo as far as sales.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, there's a big reason for that, and I think they are starting to realize what that reason is. Again, I can't really share what, but it's, yeah. Let's just say, a lot of what I've noticed in the last several months is that they're really pushing the, you know, the kind of the cloud-based type of gaming, whether it's PC or, Game Pass, or, like we were just talking about with anything is an Xbox, that whole idea. That's definitely been a focus point for them. Focal point? Focus point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the last several months, just from what I've noticed and the work that I've done for them, and it's not going to be the solution for them, but will it help ultimately? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Game Pass is a phenomenal service too. I think Game Pass is a great service. It's expensive nowadays, but it's a great service. But again, I view the cloud gaming as a novelty thing. Like, I don't really, yeah.
Well, this is what you ultimately have to look at is, Xbox is a Microsoft entity at the end of the day. So even though, we look at Xbox and gaming and whatever, you have to view it through the lens of Microsoft. And something that, because I do a lot of work for Xbox, but I do the most for like Microsoft themselves, and their big, big focus right now is AI. And that's not a secret, that's out there. And so, naturally that, and not only AI, but like AI and doing things over the cloud and whatever. So obviously that's going to trickle down into their other divisions like Xbox, for instance, where it's like, oh yeah, make things more cloud-based. And then, you know, yeah. There's some other factors going into it as well that, again, can't really share, but speaking of the AI thing,
you have like AI frame generation, which is still in its early phases. That stuff I like, but you know, the cloud stuff, we'll see. I just think it's bizarre that they're doing this campaign now when it's clearly just not at the point that it needs to be for it to be like promoted, I guess. That I think, Brandon, you sort of feel the same way in terms of it just seems a little too early, a little too premature.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason for it, and I really can't sure why that is.
No, that's totally fine. But yeah, but, no, I think it's very interesting.
Yeah,
I think it's very, very interesting. Okay, that is it for today. Actually, no, it isn't. It's it for the post-credit scene. We gotta do games of the week. Almost forgot again. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Games of the week. Here we go. Games of the week. The games you cannot select are...
glad. Stress-free football.
Stress-free football for you. The games you cannot select are, obviously, Chiefs-Bills. Makes sense. You can't select Bears-Packers. Chiefs-Bears. Bengals, Chargers, or Texans, Cowboys. Everything else is for grabs.
Well, I mean, I think it's odd. There's only one game.
There's only one, and it's another division rival. It's
yeah,
Ravens, Steelers.
We know. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, what else has to be said there? Two good running games. Two good veteran quarterbacks, you know, Russell Wilson finding his stride again, and Lamar Jackson playing like an MVP, even though we hate that term, that dirty phrase,
dirty.
But what, you know, Steelers defense very tough, very stout. Ravens defense not so much, and now missing Kyle Hamilton. It's going to hurt.
Which is their key. Which is their key, and it's why they struggled last week a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, it's rough, but it's still that is a great divisional game. That basically is another game like tonight where it's going to be close for a while until some team decides to really hit the Jets.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I'm not gonna say a little bit for Kyle Hamilton, a lot of it. They gave up 34 to the Bengals on Thursday last week.
Yeah. But they did, I think, didn't they pretty much score? Didn't the Bengals score pretty much when he was still in the game anyway?
That is true, but once he left the game, they were attacking on that side a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's gonna be rough. So just watch out for a big day from George Pickens, because they're going to need it. You know, Najee Harris, they can attack that Ravens defense. And that Ravens defense is kind of, yeah, it's near, what is it? I think it's like somewhere in the 20s, I think, this year, like early to mid-20s. It's not really great. Their offense makes up for a lot of their problems. And this is why Shane had said it. Like, you know, if you get into a shootout with them, you can probably beat them, or you should beat them. I mean, the Bengals didn't, just because the Bengals didn't execute, but the Bengals should have beat them. So yeah, that's gonna be a fun game. That's another one that's gonna, you know, whoever wins this game will be in pretty much, you know, sole possession of first place. Another 7-3 against 7-2. Yeah. Two good quarterbacks right now, two good running games right now, two good, you know, Zay Flowers on one side, George Pickens on the other. I think the key is really going to be how much does that Ravens defense give up? That's the key for that game, is because everything else is more or less kind of equal, I think. So, like, you know, Eagles Commanders was not equal. if you think about where the two teams kind of sit. But this game is a lot more equally matched, I feel like. So that's the game of the week. Division game, you know, whoever wins this pulls ahead the division. It can't get much better than that. And it's in Pittsburgh. I'm so happy it's in Pittsburgh. I love watching Ravens Steelers in Pittsburgh and not in Baltimore, because in Baltimore, those games are just, it always comes down to Justin Tucker's leg. At least the games in Pittsburgh, you know, will probably be, you know, it'll be just, I want to see like a bad weather game between these two, kind of. That's what I'm hoping for. And Pittsburgh usually has, I mean, both stadiums usually, they do get a lot of rainy games, but for some reason, Pittsburgh is just built different. I want to see that tough, because Baltimore is not a tough crowd. Pittsburgh is a tough crowd. So I want to see it. I want to see what the Ravens are going to bring to Pittsburgh on the road in this game. So that's definitely game of the week.
Shane, what are your thoughts on this game? This is going to be another classic rivalry game here between these two.
I mean, you know, tough, physical. It, you know, I feel like it's going to be low scoring. Just two really good defenses head to head, you know. And two offenses that are good, have shown flashes, but like Brandon said, not really going to get into shootouts. So, yeah, no, I think this is a very fun matchup. It's, I don't know who I'm picking right now, but
I'm leaning Baltimore.
I'm also leaning Baltimore.
Yeah. Just because they have been generally the better team thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know.
You never know. Absolutely.
You know, I think Pittsburgh bringing in Mike Williams was a very sneaky good move. I kind of...
I'll be honest. Everyone minus us kind of batted an eye on it. Everyone minus us went, whatever, Mike Williams. And we all were like, wait a moment. Wait a sec. Hang on.
I did too. I was like, okay, whatever. But then... You know, just because he was in the Jets, where everybody looks terrible. But then, you know, it's I'm sorry, but it's true. No, so it was like, oh, okay, you know. But then I was like, well, okay, hold on. But if they, as I was watching the game, I was like, no, they're using him correctly. And Adam kind of touched on this on Sunday, but yeah, I was like, oh, okay, interesting, you know.
Only gave up a fifth, and they're going to use him a lot. They're going to use him a lot.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of like, yeah, whatever, but I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but didn't I basically call it? I said they're going to use him. They should use him only in the red zone. And what they do, they use him in the red zone to catch a TD.
You know what's funny? I put Mike Williams in fantasy this week. If you look at a lot of fantasy sites, had him right at about the 50 mark. I bumped him up to 40. Because I was like, hang on a moment. They're going to use him in the red zone a good bit. They use him in deep ball. Like, they're going to use him a good bit. All right, Brandon, you start with Pot Cookies. Game of the week. The worst game of the week.
Oh, Jesus. Well, if there's only one good game of the week, then you know there's a lot of contenders for Pot Cookies.
There's a lot of bad ones. And by the way, we stopped giving everyone a separate game of the week because the back end of these games, minus the one good game every week, is so bad that it's not even worth picking as game of the week. It's not worth it. But
I do think there's a clear one though, at least for me. There's two or three you could make a case for, but I think one of them stands out a little more, And I'm pretty sure one of you will pick the other game that I don't pick. But because like, I think they're just both terrible. But I am picking Brown Saints. Brown Saints is god awful. Between Jameis Winston needing LASIK.
More LASIK. Because my god, he can't see. More LASIK. He needs more LASIK.
Like we thought he would make that offense better. He doesn't.
No, he does by a very small amount because Deshaun Watson was terrible, but when
we say better, we mean like better, not better by a small amount, like better. And he doesn't do that.
Offense better than Deshaun.
Yeah.
Like the bar was high.
Yeah. Any one of the three of us could clear that bar. But yeah, he's already thrown three picks and two starts. That offense, like, Njoku should be better than what he is. He's having a real bad fantasy season.
He's having a really bad year, period. He had some injuries, but yeah.
You know, they don't have Amari Cooper anymore. We know that. We covered that. And boy, could they use him. Well, they can't. Well, they couldn't use him when he was there, but they could use him now. And then on the flip side, the Saints are just terrible. Like, you know, I wasn't fooled by their first 2 weeks of the season. I said, yeah, they played nobody, so I'm not. I don't care. This is who the Saints are. This should be a low scoring, like 17-14 kind of final score. There's no Chris Olave. There's no, and for a while too, he's on IR.
Chris Olave's out.
There's
for the
no
year.
Olave.
Chris Olave's out for the year.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's gonna be out for the year.
He's
had three NFL concussions and he's meeting with the specialist. That's out for the year, guaranteed. I caught him already in all my leagues.
Yeah.
That's
Rob, not wasting any time.
Well, either way, too, at this point, IR basically is end of the year anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. He's not touching. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if he touches the field this year. I'd be stunned.
Yeah, so he's done. I mean, MVS is a cool story, but MVS had a Randy Moss stat line last week. But at the same time, that was his first game. So let's pump the brakes on that, Alvin Kamara is actually having a decent, I think so far, a decent fantasy season. He's really their only offense. So if he doesn't do anything, that team's not going to score more than it's going to be like a 17-14 game because neither quarterback can throw. Neither offensive line can really block. Neither defense is great. I mean, the Browns were up until pretty much Deshaun Watson got hurt, and all of a sudden that defense has gone to complete crap. Saints D has not been good all year, pretty much. Outside of the first 2 weeks. So that's easily pot cookies. That game just sucks all the way around. But there is another game, and I want to see if you guys know which one it is.
Shane, you go ahead.
I don't know if I do. There's a few.
Do you want me to go? Do you want me to go first?
No. Okay. I'm gonna. Let's see. Yeah, I think. Miami Vegas is definitely a dud for me.
I think that's fair.
I think that's completely fair. Yeah.
Another one's Rams Patriots. That's pretty rough.
I'm surprised no one's taking the really obvious one here.
Are you ready for mine? Shane, do you want to comment on Raiders Dolphins at all?
No.
I'm really scared about both of their offenses.
It's Pot Cookies game of the week. It's stupid. There's no reason for me to talk about it.
For me, it's Colts Jets. This is atrocious. Anthony, if Joe Flacco played in this game, it wouldn't even be in the discussion. It's a mid-range game at best if Joe Flacco is in it. Anthony Richardson playing, I'm so perplexed why he's playing. Why are you benching him for a couple weeks just to put him back out in the fire again? Unless we can see the first couple weeks Anthony Richardson of last season, his rookie year back. This is going to be a interception fest by both quarterbacks. Because Aaron Rodgers doesn't have it anymore. And Aaron Rodgers will most likely be the quarterback for the Jets in 2025. Have fun, Jets fans, because he is done. He's done. Like, he's done now. He should retire now. Like, it's really bad. This is obvious for me.
Didn't he say that he was like, oh, they asked him, oh, are you going to come back next year? He's like, oh, I think so. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'm like, well, you're not playing.
Davante Adams. Part of Davante Adams going to the New York Jets was he had to be told by the Jets brass and Aaron Rodgers with confidence that Aaron Rodgers would be the quarterback in 2025, or else he would have probably gone to the Saints.
Well, like
that was like a huge thing for him,
because that would have worked out well too.
Yeah,
like Davante Adams perplexes me. This isn't fifth grade. Stop wanting to play with your friends and start trying to go get a ring.
I know, right?
Because you're playing on garbage teams that are not going to win anything. And he's like, "Oh, it's not about playing. You know, it's about going where I can." You know, the professional answer he's going to give you is, oh, I came here to win football games. Clearly you didn't, because you would know these teams suck. Stop wanting to play with your friends. This isn't fifth grade kickball.
I'll be fair. I thought the Saints would have been good.
There's a pretty good team. Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty good team in Green Bay who probably want him. But,
guess what? Baltimore got a better deal on their trade, even though it's not really panning out. Same with Buffalo. Not really panning out, but we'll see. And then, of course,
Who did Baltimore trade?
They got Johnson. They got Deontay.
Right.
Yeah.
So many guys went to better situations, minus yourself.
Yeah, and you can argue that he is the best. Yeah, and you can. Well, yeah. And yeah, you can argue too that Adams is probably the best out of all of them.
Yeah.
So
and you know what's funny is that Adams going to the Jets led to Mike Williams being on the Steelers. Can you imagine how happy Mike Williams is right now? He's trolling Aaron Rodgers. He's having like the best time ever, and it's all because Adams went there.
That's funny.
Someone needs to keep track of the Jets' record since going into next year too, if things go the way that they're supposed to go. So we need to keep track of the Jets' record with Adams and Rodgers since he popped in on the Pat McAfee show behind Aaron Rodgers, like in that picture on video.
Someone needs to keep track of the record.
It's like the Giants in their boat picture.
Yeah, because literally when Rodgers was on the McAfee show, and you know they talked about, hey, is Davante Adams there with you? And Davante Adams popped in the background. They were both smiling to the camera. I saw someone take a screenshot of him and be like, yeah, like, you know, this is so funny. Look at how bad this team is now that these two are together. And it's just that picture, like that screenshot of them smiling at the camera during the Pat McAfee show. Oh, so I was like, please, somebody keep track of their record together now that they're both there that picture.
I really want to know. It's going to be crazy. Let's do lines. Colts, Jets, guess the line.
We're going to be doing lines after that one.
God damn it.
Colts -6.
Yeah, that's got to be something. Let's go a little less. Also, because both teams are terrible. I'll say Colts -3.
Jets -4.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Is Vegas on crack? The Colts are better than the Jets. Even if they had their division, the Colts are better.
I think I picked the Jets. I have to check.
Brandon, have you ever been to Vegas? It is crack.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I haven't gone, but I know what it is over there.
I'm glad that Brandon didn't see the lines. Because it makes it more fun. Guess Jaguars-Lions.
Oh my God, Lions minus a billion.
Make a proper guess. Minus 10 for Shane.
Yeah, I know. I'll say Lions minus 8.
Lions minus 14.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah.
That's a college football line.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It's one of the biggest lines of the year so far. I think it is the biggest. Rams Patriots.
Rams minus 5.
Oh, I'll Rams say minus Rams minus. Yeah, it's not a high line, so I'm not gonna go higher than that. I'm gonna say Rams. I'll go Rams minus 3.5.
Rams minus 4.5.
Oh.
Vikings okay. Titans guess the line.
Vikings Titans.
Yep.
That's tricky because if you would have said that like 4 weeks ago, that would have been like Vikings minus 12. But not now.
I'm gonna go Vikings minus 7.
I'll say something close to that. I'll go Vikings minus 6.
Ding, 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 ding. Vikings minus 6.
Let's go. I haven't even seen the lines this week. Like I usually don't see them. Like I usually see one or two games, like what the lines are, but yeah, but this one I didn't see any of them at all. So I'm happy about that one. I got that one right.
Bengals Chargers Sunday Night Football.
Ooh.
Chargers minus 3.
Damn you. I was going to say the same thing. Just for the sake of, I want to say Chargers minus 2.
Chargers minus 1.5.
Oh.
Falcons Broncos.
Falcons minus 2.
I'll say Falcons minus 4.
Denver minus 2.
What?
Okay.
All right. I mean, I do like that, but that's interesting.
Packers Bears.
Well, my game's in Mile High, though, right? So I think that's why.
Yeah. Packers Bears.
Packers minus 5.
Thank God you didn't say what I was going to say, because I'll stick close to you. I was going to say Packers minus 4.
Packers minus 5.5.
Whoa. Ooh. All right.
I'll take it.
Steelers. It's a little hot. No, not Steelers. Jesus. Seahawks 49ers.
Oh, boy.
No, 49ers minus 9, probably. What?
I'll say Niners minus 7.
Niners minus 6.5.
Oh, I was close.
That's generous.
That's generous.
I mean, listen, division game, but I think this year that division game is not going to be a true division game. That's going to be bad.
It has not been a division game since 2020. The Niners killed them every single time.
Have they actually? I thought it was closer than that.
No.
All right, well, then I'm wrong. But yeah, actually, then, well, yeah, regardless, that's generous. Yeah, that's right.
All right, and that will be it for us today. For Brandon, for Shane, we'll see you back on Sunday. We're doing Rango as our movie. Very excited to talk about that.
Hey.
It's going to be really, really fun. But we'll see you guys then.
Okay. Sounds good, everybody.
Sounds good. Take care, everybody.